Hey guys, welcome back.
Thanks for joining us for our Anime Iowa online live show last weekend. We are recording this before the show actually happened, but we're going to just assume everyone had a really good time and that it was absolutely wonderful.
With, you know, just the appropriate amount of technical difficulties kind of spurted in there every once in a while.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Yes, we're trying to be responsible and record ahead of schedule. So we are ahead of when we would actually be posting our episodes. What is that?
Gasp.
Efficiency? What?
Pre-planning.
What is pre-planning?
Well, you know what? We're actually going to talk about that in today's episode.
We are going to talk about planning in today's episode because today's episode is all about participating with a group. Which, speaking of participating with a group, I now want a really large She-Ra group.
Oh.
I watched all of She-Ra in a week.
Yes.
It's delightful.
Yes.
It's delightfully gay. It's amazing.
Okay. Alrighty then.
That is how most people have described She-Ra to me before I watched it, was that it was delightfully gay, and I concur that it is.
Now you've just confirmed it.
Yes. But the reason it's so delightfully gay is, like, you know, in a lot of shows still to this day, the gay character, like, their sexuality is part of the plot.
Right.
It's not part of the plot at all in She-Ra.
Oh, good.
It just is. Like, Bo just has two dads and it's cool. Like, they don't make any, like, big deal about it. There's no conflict around a character's sexuality. They just are. This show's representation for, like, race, orientation, it's across the board, everywhere. I've never seen a show do this before.
Wow, that's super refreshing.
Plus, it's freaking adorable. I'm not gonna lie. You are Angela, by the way.
Oh, okay. Actually, that was gonna be my next question. So, of course, you know, now that we need this massive cosplay group for She-Ra, was who are we cosplaying? And apparently, I am Angela.
You are Angela because she is the kind and wonderful queen who is very much a mom.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
You're Angela.
Okay.
I'm caught in between Shadow Weaver, because Shadow Weaver is the villain who's not really a villain.
Oh.
But you know I love those.
Right.
So, like, they're very kind of in the middle and stuck in their own, like, internal turmoil. And then we have Double Trouble, who speaks to me on a deep personal level. Because Double Trouble is designed off a chameleon, and Double Trouble is basically a doppelganger.
That sounds super fun.
Double Trouble is also a non-binary character. I think it's really cool that they did this with this character that can, like, change shape and form. So they actually identify Double Trouble with the pronouns of they, them in the show.
Wow.
And the actor is also non-binary. But Double Trouble is chaotic neutral at its finest.
So you're saying that if they turned this into a live action movie, that Double Trouble would be played by Scarlett Johansson?
Sadly, that's probably true. Let's hope not.
Have you seen the, like, fantasy cast for Final Fantasy VII where all of the characters are Scarlett Johansson?
No! I actually did have a few people, though, basically say to me, well, you can do Double Trouble as long as you're not Scarlett Johansson. So,
I mean,
because, of course, you know, being that I don't identify as non-binary, I was a little concerned, like, can I play Double Trouble? You know, because there's a lot of backlash for actors who are not trans, who play a trans character. But the consensus from the trans community seems to be, as long as I don't erase Double Trouble's pronouns and the fact that Double Trouble is non-binary, that it's fine. They are sassy and full of chaos and just want to cause trouble.
You had me at chaos.
And so, I just see this performance where I'm changing outfits every 5 seconds.
Of course. Because of course there's a skit.
Because of course the other fun part about Double Trouble is the fact that they would make a kick-ass performance.
Because there has to be a skit involved, obviously.
There's always a skit involved. The downside is I would need to make a bodysuit that not only involves spandex, but also stretch pleather, and a wig that has buzzed sides.
Oh, fun.
Now, Arta makes one with, like, both sides buzzed with the long hair. There's also body paint, because Double Trouble is green.
You're just getting, like, the win-win-win going in here.
I know. Everything that I've never done before is Double Trouble.
Which is probably both, like, super exciting, but kind of intimidating at the same time.
And unfortunately, that's probably why I'm like, well, Shadow Weaver, because Shadow Weaver is just the same thing that we've done over and over again. Shadow Weaver wears a dress.
Shadow Weaver wears a dress.
It's not new. Done this before. This isn't anything new.
But the real question is if we're going to do a skit and I have to play the queen.
Double Trouble makes no sense with the queen, but Shadow Weaver does.
Oh.
Shadow Weaver makes... I won't tell you in case you try to watch it why she makes sense with the queen. Shadow Weaver makes sense with the queen, just not Double Trouble. Double Trouble makes sense with, like, Catra.
So what you're saying is maybe you just need to make both.
And I'm not cosplaying Catra because there's a lot of Catras. But Catra would fall into my normal tendency of I am cosplaying the character that I have a crush on in this series.
Right.
So that's Catra's role. If everyone's wondering why I don't want to be Catra, because Catra would make so much sense for me. Trying to branch out.
Alrighty then.
I'm trying to branch out.
Trying to branch it out.
A little bit. I mean, they both involve body paint, which is not fun, unfortunately.
Lucky you.
A lot of the characters in She-Ra involve body paint.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that just don't wear the body paint, depending on what color
it is. For Double Trouble, though, you, like, have to. Shadow Weaver, it's just your face, and that's pretty much Double Trouble, too, if everything else is a suit. Because you just see Shadow Weaver's hands, so... And she's wearing gloves anyway.
Oh, well then.
You see the tips of her fingers, so when you make the gloves, you just make those out of the gray spandex. I'm sad it's over, but I'm glad that they ended it and didn't try to, like, continue it forever.
Right, because sometimes it's just better to stop.
And it didn't make me angry like Miraculous does.
Oh.
Because I need to go, at this point, go back to season 3 and just watch again, but Miraculous just makes me angry.
I'm excited because the first Miraculous special is supposed to come out next month in September.
Yeah. No, I just get mad at Miraculous.
And I also learned that I believe that they're going to do seasons 4 and 5 exclusively on Disney Plus. So I'm going to have to break down and get Disney Plus.
So you get Disney Plus, and then we'll watch Hamilton.
Right. And then I can watch all of these other things that I need to watch.
Speaking of all the love in She-Ra, though, we do have some updates from our Wholesome Content episode that I need to share. Chris answered us whether or not they will be getting married at the castle they were engaged at, and they are going to. And on top of it, they are doing a Witcher-themed wedding at the castle.
Please.
He promised me that they will stream it so that we can be there.
Please.
I also want to give a shout out to our friends Baker Street Regulars on their engagement.
Yay!
So they went on vacation and got engaged. They are a cosplay couple from Nebraska that we've known for a really long time. And you can find them on social media at Baker Street Regulars. But they are finally officially engaged. So congratulations, you two.
Additionally, Anime Fusion is canceled. That was our last scheduled con for the year. We are planning on doing online programming, though, so stay tuned, and we will let you know what that's all about coming up.
I did find this really delightful podcast called Bombarded, and it is a D&D-style podcast where the entire party are bards.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious. They do an original song every episode. They're from the band Lindby, and they're from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they play this game every week. You get a random song every episode. Essentially, this group of bards is going to bard school, and then they get sent out on quests.
Oh, good.
Well, and they all have, like, a rogue or a barbarian or a...
Oh, they have alts?
Classes. They're all bards, but they all have alternate classes.
Oh, okay.
As well. So, like, one might be a rogue, one might be a magician, one might be like a barbarian, that kind of thing. They all have their own instruments and way that they do things, and it's pretty hysterical. So you can pretty much find Bombarded anywhere you get your podcasts. They are also on social media under Bombarded. But if you want a good giggle, they're a really good time. But since I would totally be a bard if I ever played D&D, I truly enjoy this podcast.
That's why you're just here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'll toss a coin to your witcher. Well, and I can only imagine doing a podcast with that many people must be a lot of work. Because groups are a lot of work.
Groups are a lot of work.
Groups are so much work.
So, welcome to Better Together, also known as how you usually end up not talking to someone by the end of it.
Also known as Adulting 101.
Adulting 101.
But it's true, like, typically there's so much stress and just negative things that occur during group projects that you end up, like, losing friendships over them.
Or just, you know, maybe you will work with specific people, but not all of them at the same time. Or maybe every time you look at that particular costume, you want to throw it against a wall or run over it with your car or set it on fire.
We have one of those. I'm assuming you're talking about the one that I'm thinking of.
To be fair, most of mine is disassembled at this point.
That's true, because I'm stealing pieces for other purposes.
Right? We're upcycling.
What else can I do with a lot of blue leather?
We're not, like, maiming. We're just...
upcycling a costume we won't wear anymore.
Right. So we're being good stewards of the environment and recycling materials from... cosplay past into things that we'll actually wear.
It's part of our attempt to not spend quite so much on costumes as we usually have done.
And, you know, it lets me slowly tear it apart piece by piece.
It's therapeutic. It's fine.
Yes, this is fine. This is entirely healthy. And usually, the bigger the group, the worse off it typically gets. Lots of things can contribute to that. What's the expression? Too many cooks in the kitchen?
Yes. That's usually why large groups struggle, is because there's just too many opinions going on at once. And if you're not super familiar with the different, like, ways in which your group members express themselves and time management.
You got your person that actually owns the restaurant, and then you're going to have, like, your head chef. But then you also need, like, your sous chef, and there's so many different types of chefs in the kitchen.
But the problem is usually multiple people want to or think they are the head chef.
No.
I mean, that is typically what happens and why things...
Are you saying that cosplayers have egos?
No!
How dare?
Everyone thinks they can do it better than the other person is part of the problem usually with a group project.
Competing only makes it worse.
Absolutely.
Because then you just get that, like, extra level of stress and pressure on top of everything else. And by the way, once upon a time when we were not brand new, but it was the early years of costuming and cosplay competing, 2003, Anime Central in Chicago area, currently it's in Rosemont, before that it wasn't, but they eventually developed a rule about how many people you can have on stage. And you can blame Elle and a bunch of our other friends for that, and their 21-person Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust group. So pretty much the entire main cast of Bloodlust went across the stage during this. Of course, it's a performance, because how do you not?
And that was when you still had to, like, do your lines live, too.
Yep, you sure did.
We also may or may not be the reason why you aren't allowed to do stage combat anymore either.
No one
got hurt. We actually were trained properly by, like, a certified stage combat person, but...
Yep.
That group's a whole nother story of how we got, like, disqualified when we shouldn't have been, and all sorts of crazy things, too, though.
There is a lot of... There's a lot that went on with that.
There was a lot of complications due to it being a very large group and things not having certain expectations and rules that they have now.
Well, and even within the group dynamic, I wasn't directly involved. I was peripherally involved as a member of the larger group that this all took part in. But I got to see a lot of it. And we're going to talk about a lot of the issues that potentially did happen then.
I mean, I would say considering we had 21 people all over the country without social media, because we didn't have social media to keep track of each other, we had chat rooms.
We had Yahoo clubs.
Yeah.
It was even before Yahoo groups.
I'm pretty impressed how well that went together, despite all of that. The skit, I believe, is on our YouTube.
I think so.
If it's not linked, we'll link it.
We'll find it. There's video evidence.
I would say I will never, ever do that again.
Well, you can't. It's against the rules.
Well,
now.
I know. But even if it was like a hall cosplay thing, like I'm not doing the 21 person group again. That was insane.
So we can only have 20 people in the Shira group? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. No more than 20.
The big groups that you typically see nowadays are going to be that are organized and can kind of get through some of this stuff are all those idol groups that are out there.
They're usually still a limited set number of people, though. So
I think they're 20.
Idol groups?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen a 20
people if you have a full idol group.
I guess I've never seen a 20-person idol group.
Because most people don't
have
full groups for that.
How big is a full Love Live group? Tell me, Google Foo.
Come on, Google.
There are 27 main Love Live characters.
How do you have 27 main characters in anything?
I don't know if all 27 actually perform together, though.
The biggest Love Live group I think I've ever seen is only like 9.
There was a really big one at Colossal Con. Yeah, I can't find the answer exactly to how many you need to do a whole song. But I mean, to get through one of those, you have to be pretty dedicated.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a lot of work.
So much coordinating. So right. Many people. So many schedules.
My favorite comment about groups ever is the one where the guy was like, how much do you get paid to be in a cosplay group?
I remember that post.
So the actual question is, when forming cosplay groups, how much do you get paid? That is the only way I know cosplay groups can work. So what is the going rate?
For context, I think this person was going to try to pay people to be in the group with them.
But I can totally also understand why when you see like some of these idol groups and stuff, why you might think people are getting paid. Because like it's a lot of work.
All of the people that I know that do performance work like that, the amount of money that you get paid is disproportionate to the amount of work that your giant group of people has to put in.
That's pretty much anything that's cosplay plus getting paid.
That's fair.
It's always amount of work and money you're putting in is always going to be drastically disproportionate to what you're actually getting paid. Pretty much. We get paid $0 for this podcast, and it's a lot of work.
It's a labor of love.
If you think about it, you're like, people are putting so much time and effort into this, they must be getting paid, or why would you do this? Like, why would you do this if you're not getting paid?
Maybe some people just thrive on chaos.
A lot of people thrive on chaos. That's why ConCrunch exists.
That's fair.
I mean, there literally are some people that just can't do anything unless there's chaos. We are very lucky to actually know a group expert in our lives.
Adulting 101.
Mew 21 cosplay is literally a group expert.
So you're saying that Mew 21 is a professional adult?
Yes, professional adult. They have put together full Sailor Moon groups.
Love it.
With like equal levels of craftsmanship and like acting ability and just amazing groups and has been able to do it multiple times.
Yes, I greatly enjoy them.
I asked B21 if she would be willing to give some advice for all of you on doing a successful group before we start breaking it down into the different sections of what you need to look at when trying to put a group together. So she says, group cosplay is not an exact science. It's a skill that I honed over years of cosplaying. You're going to have your bumps and problems. It took me years to cultivate a list of good, reliable, skilled cosplayers who I knew would make my groups become a reality. Communication and set expectations are your best tools. The more you communicate, the better. I use both Facebook and group pages and a group chat. These help everyone see how progress is coming and set what is expected. Having check-in points is also super helpful. Clear and concise expectations.
I really like how her advice to everybody is a nice, like, little summary with a bow on it of exactly what we're about to talk about.
It is. And a lot of these skills are going to be especially important right now, where people are still trying to do group cosplays, but you can't meet in person. So there's a lot more organizing and kind of being on the ball that you have to do.
Yeah. So, successful group traits. In our experience, we found pretty much the following five things to be most important over anything else. Balance, organization, communication, realistic expectations, and fun. Balance. This is going to be a couple different things. It's going to be not only your skill ability, because I believe that you don't have to be skilled in the same things, but you want to make sure that your more skilled people, especially if you're crafting, are not carrying all of the weight, and also your division of labor. So like, Elle and I have complementary skills. So when we do things, I will more heavily focus on one particular thing for the costumes, and she will more heavily focus on other types of things for the costumes. Either one of us isn't doing all of the work. We like to do things on the side to kind of hone the other skills and get a little bit more practice and to get better. That division of labor is important because you don't want somebody carrying. Because ultimately, if you have a disproportionate amount of work or time or money, just whatever it may be, because not everybody makes their costumes, it doesn't matter if it's a real disproportion or a perceived disproportion, because you gotta remember what people think is their own reality. Just because you think that you've put more work in, but they think that there's more work in, that's gonna cause resentment. And resentment is bad, especially if you're trying to do a group with friends.
Well, and we've struggled with this on and off before as well, guys. So, like, it's something that happens to everyone in every different situation, and we've gotten better at it. That is part of why I needed to get a little bit better at sewing, because even though I had lots of other things to do, we tend to do very sewing-heavy projects. But, like, for instance, we're looking at doing Spark and Nice from Record of Lotus War. Well, I have to learn a completely new skill and do, like, a full suit of armor. And Ash's costume is really, really simple. So Ash may be helping me do the sewing on Spark because I need to make all of this armor that I haven't done before. But it's figuring out that balance and what each person can handle given the time and the constraints that they have.
How many spoons are available?
Yes, pretty much. How many spoons does someone have?
We're going to talk about a couple more things and we can relate back to the Spark and Nice project on that a little bit. Organization. Is there a plan? Are we just winging it?
A plan?
Is there like a due date for something?
A due date?
Do you have like, is your due date literally like
tomorrow
before you go on stage at the con? Or maybe you're setting a due date like a couple weeks ahead of the con? Or maybe you're going to have little due dates in between. We would like to have our fabric ordered by X date. And then I would like to sew his ugly mutton sleeves by this date.
They're so ugly.
This is going to depend on the person. What works best for you as far as staying organized. And it might be one of those things that you have to adapt to if your other group members need it in order to help better have group harmony. If you're not organized, you might end up missing a deadline, whether it's one of the deadlines that you set for yourselves, or it's a hard deadline, like we're still sewing in the hotel room. Or you might have to compromise for less. I really wanted to put those beads all the way around, but I guess I'm just going to have to put them here and there instead. So maybe not exactly what I wanted because I ran out of time because I wasn't organized.
Well, we get that right now, especially planning is almost more important than anything because of how long it's taking to get materials. And material availability is still a big problem.
Like we've talked about with Con Crunch before, you know that there's no cons right now. So you're like, look at all this time that I have. But then, oh, that con's not getting canceled and I still want to go. Darn it, I should have started this months ago when I was quarantined in my house.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that planning, obviously. And then there's also the planning of, like, now you have the issue of if you run out of a certain material, you may not be able to get it again for an extended period. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've looked at trying to figure out maybe I don't want to use thermoplastic at all for Spark and have him be all foam with no coating of thermoplastic because what if I can't get a hold of any Wurbla?
Right.
Because we live in an area where we have to order literally everything. So we have to plan ahead all the time because I can't even like go and buy fabric at a store. I typically have to order it, which right now is significantly delayed. So that planning ahead is kind of a big part of it. But then you sometimes also run into like that opposite effect of you plan so far ahead that you've bought portions of stuff for a costume and then never use them.
You're like, oh, well, I really don't want to do that anymore. I know I have the whole thing essentially sitting in a box over there waiting for me to sew it together, but eh.
Yeah, we have a couple of those where I'm just like, it's not worth me buying the rest of the supplies for this costume because I don't really want to make it anymore. But we may have found fabric on sale or a wig on sale that was perfect and bought it. And that's not really planning.
No.
That's more just like
impulse buying.
Impulse buying, and it's not necessarily good. You know, sometimes it'll help you adhere to getting stuff done, like Ninja Shadow, because I have a wig for Ninja Shadow, but nothing else.
I love Ninja Shadow.
We need to order stuff for Ninja Shadow.
The next one is communication. Do you have a way to easily keep in touch with your group members? Preferably all in the same place. So if somebody doesn't have something, then they're either going to have to get it or you guys are going to have to pick something else. And this doesn't matter if you exchange emails or phone numbers or set up a Facebook group or set up a Discord channel. I mean, whatever is going to work for you as far as a place to communicate with everybody and kind of keep everything in check. And also, I found it really helpful whenever you get like updates from people. It almost like motivates you to be like, oh, they're doing this. I want to make sure that I have stuff to post too so I could show everybody my updates and get feedback. The other part of communication is, are you making it clear what is expected of each person in your group? Is there a specific thing that somebody's in charge of? Does it need to be done by a specific time for a certain reason? You can't just assume that people know things, because the biggest consequence that you're going to find from lack of communication is going to be misunderstandings. Because as humans, when we lack information, our brains automatically try to fill in the gaps. That can cause a lot of hurt feelings and cause a lot of assumptions, which may or may not be true. Talk to each other, please.
I do recommend doing some of it actually live, too, because what we've experienced with trying to do very complicated group cosplays before via, like, just Messenger is a lot of things get construed wrong because you don't have that intonation of a person's voice. So, like, having a Zoom meeting every once in a while probably wouldn't be a terrible idea to help reduce some of that miscommunication.
Absolutely. Well, and sometimes too, on social media, if you're using like a chat program, then sometimes things get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not everybody can come to your group meeting at such and such a time, or maybe a couple people are chatting about something, either group related or not, when somebody else or a couple of people from the group aren't there. If they're trying to go back and read, they might actually end up missing some of the conversation that had happened previously, and the people that were in it are like, oh, well, we already talked about that. Well, but we didn't, because not everybody was involved in the conversation. That can also cause problems.
Well, and that's when it's really good to have a Facebook group that you post things into, because it's easier to find the material. I mean, that's what we do for this show. Anything that's important, we don't put it in Messenger because we know it's going to get lost.
it gets lost.
It does get lost. I mean, sometimes you get lost in the group too, let's be
honest. Sometimes stuff gets lost in group too, depending on how much stuff is in
the
group.
But at least it's a little bit easier to find.
Right.
In the group.
Because if I know that I have seen at some point something posted in group, every once in a while, I'll try to go back and be like, all right, so is there anything here that I need to address that's on this list? So we like to use group for to-do lists a lot.
Well, and that worked really well for us the last time we've done some group projects. That's what we did for our Sailor Moon Villains group. We used a Facebook group to discuss things, which made things a lot easier because then they weren't getting lost. And then we were also able to post photo updates and different things of that nature, kind of know where everybody was and if people were on track. And I mean, that's our plan for our next group project. We'll probably use the same format, but it's going to be the same people. So that also helps.
How convenient.
How convenient.
The next thing that you want to make sure that you have are realistic expectations. They need to be clear and they need to be concise. Frankly, they need to be reasonable because what's good for one person might not necessarily be good for all people. If you've got somebody that's got like a decent job and then you've got somebody that's like a minimum wage job person and then another person that only kind of works part time because they're going to school all the time, they're going to have drastically different budgets and potentially drastically different time availability. It's a conversation that's uncomfortable, but you still need to have it because you need to make sure that the amount of work that each person puts in is reasonable for everybody participating. Because again, if you get that lack of balance with your work, time, money, and not everybody's okay with it, you're going to get resentment down the road.
Well, I think this is the section that gets forgotten about the most, but it's probably the most important, especially with clear and concise expectations. As an occupational therapist, I think I say that like 10 times a day. Clear and concise expectations. Especially with some of my consultative work that I do, my first thing will always be for the client, were the expectations clear and concise? If not, then you need to go back and figure out what works for the person so that they understand their role and their expectation. And a lot of times, yeah, what will happen is people will go in and expect the moon from everyone, but everybody didn't understand that that was what the expectation was.
Right. Or maybe they just can't provide the moon. Maybe you can only have a star instead.
Like, they're coming in going, oh, I'm doing this for fun, and this is just going to be, you know, a good time. And then person B is like, I want to win best in show, and everything needs to be perfect, and we need to spend all our extra time on it. You're going to have an issue. If you're same page.
I think it's important to remember that different people join different cosplay groups for different reasons. And just like with cosplay in general, there's no right way. All the ways that groups are formed are completely valid and one's not necessarily better than another. But like Elle said, if you don't have those same kind of goals in mind, then it might cause some conflict down the road. Because if person A just wants to cosplay with their friends, and person B just really likes this series and just wants to do a costume, but person C really wants to perform because they're a theater junkie and they can't help it, it's in their blood. And then you've got person D that's like, man, I love competing and I want to win all the awards. They could all be in the same group together, but if everybody's not on page for wanting to win all of the awards, and everybody's not on page for wanting to do a performance, then it could cause some issues. Because the first person's just like, I'm happy to be a part of it. And then the next person's like, I'm just happy to be cosplaying this character that I love. Keep that in mind when you're working with a group of people, that everybody's kind of got different expectations for what's going on. And if you don't talk about them with each other and make sure that everyone is on the same page, it's going to cause strife.
Yeah, no assuming that everybody knows what you're thinking, because no one is going to read your mind.
It's true.
It's true. We can't even read each other's minds. So if we can't do it, no one can.
Sometimes we finish each other's sentences.
Sometimes.
That's besides the point. This brings us to our last and possibly the most important thing besides realistic expectations: cosplay is supposed to be fun.
What?
If it's not fun, then why are you doing it? It's a hobby.
Wait, it's supposed to be fun? I think I missed that memo.
Yes. Have fun. What's the point of being silly and dressing up into character and gallivanting around with your friends or taking pictures together or jumping on stage and performing for the audience if you are not enjoying it? If it comes to the point where it's too stressful and you're not having fun, then maybe you need to reevaluate. Going back to those realistic expectations, we're going to talk about some more adulting with all of you.
It's our favorite part of when we do this panel.
Some of you may or may not have heard of it, and I've seen it presented in a lot of different ways. The basic premise is called the project management triangle. The three corners of your triangle are scope, time, and cost. And the thought behind it is you have to pick two. So for scope, as far as cosplay goes, I want to wear a costume. Like, as long as I'm in costume, I don't care. What about a costume that fits my body perfectly? What about a costume made out of super high quality materials? As we've told you, I'm a little bit of a fabric snob, so I like things like silk and leather. Do I want my cosplay to be screen accurate? Do I want to go over the top and crazy with it and put in LEDs or do a lot of weathering techniques or embellishments like embroidery and rhinestones? I'm surprised that Elle's not like shaking her head fervently because she likes the embroidery and the rhinestones.
I typically like doing all of the weathering and embellishments and embroideries and rhinestones.
Right.
But we know to expect that of each other.
Yes.
And we've got...
But that's going to be your scope.
Yes. And we've gotten better at knowing that the people that we typically group with have very similar preferences, which has helped keep our expectation known.
More realistic.
Because we know that they're equally, if not more so crazy than we are.
Your second corner is time. Now, this is the time between point A and point B of I don't have a costume and now I have a costume. Part of this is going to be potentially work spent. Or if you're buying materials or buying your costume, it could also include shipping time. Because everybody knows that you have to pay more for next day shipping. Like, it's a really fairly easy concept. If I want ground, where it's going to take weeks, or if I want, like, air, where it's going to take maybe months, I can probably get it pretty cheap. But if I want it, you know, in 2 business days, then I'm probably going to have to pay for it. Same concept. And then cost is pretty self-explanatory. So you get to pick 2 out of the 3. You can either do all the things with your costume and have it be less expensive, but it's going to take you forever. It's going to take a lot more time. Or if you want to do it super quickly, then it's going to cost you some money, more so. Because maybe you can't shop around or wait for coupons. I can't buy my patterns on sale, or I have to pay for expensive shipping, or I can't wait until that Groupon for the fabric outlet, or what have you. I have to pay more money. Or if you want something super quick and kind of cheap, but you don't necessarily care about the quality, you could probably just order something and call it a day and be good with it. Or you could just go to your local store and pick out whatever fabric is in a vague color resemblance that's on sale, but it might not look as great as it could have if you would have spent more time and money on it, but you're going to have to sacrifice something out of those three is the basic premise of the project management triangle.
I have found that typically the least stressful combination is less cost, higher quality with more time.
I prefer that combo. I would rather start something early and take my time with it and have it be higher quality and overall cost me less money in the end. But that's not going to work for everybody. Some people might not have as much time as a luxury to get those types of things and would rather spend the money. Or some people just want to wear the costume. And they're just going to order it on Amazon.
Which is totally fine. We've totally done that.
It's totally, I mean, it's valid.
Yeah.
All cosplay is valid.
I have costumes where I'm like, oh, I mean, Mystic Messenger is a good example of that. We just really wanted to do Zen and 707. We didn't want to make them. We ordered them on Amazon.
We just wanted to wear them.
We just wanted to wear them.
I pieced mine together. Like, I went to the store and bought jeans and boots.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, you don't have to make everything.
The only making that I had to do was I couldn't get the striped glasses in time, so I had to get glasses and then that were yellow and then tape them off and then paint the plaque on. That was my only making. Everything else, I'm like on Etsy and Amazon and I'm like, boom, 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 boom. Oh, now I just gotta wait for this stuff to show up to my house. Easy peasy.
So we do have a couple of questions that we've gotten frequently about doing group projects, and we're gonna try to answer a couple of them. The first one is, my group member is procrastinating on their costume. My group member isn't doing their share of the work, or my group member simply won't make time for the project. So this is kind of a combo of multiple questions that we've gotten.
And I feel like there's one in every group.
Always! It's like when you go back to like when you were in school and you had to do like the group projects, and there's always that one person that won't do anything. And I was always the person who just finished the whole project by myself.
Oh, I feel you. But if you don't know who it is in your group, you might want to take a look at yourself and check your own behavior.
Well, and we have had this issue more times than we care to count.
Yeah.
With pretty much every group not every group we've done. But that's because we learned who was reliable and were able to remove that person.
Which we'll talk about in a minute when we get to resolving more conflict. If you're having problems with your group member, you need to look back at your previous interactions. Did you all agree on clear and concise, realistic expectations? If they're not doing something in what you consider to be a timely manner, if nobody ever specified that we need to get this done by this date, you can't really be mad at them for following their own schedule. If they think that this is an appropriate schedule, as long as it's done by X time, but you think that they're not moving quick enough, did you guys talk about that beforehand? Before you get kind of mad about it? Yes, no, maybe? Is it something that you can talk about now and say, hey, I'm concerned because... Use your I sentences.
I statement time. I feel because blank.
I feel. It's about you and your feelings. I feel. A lot of people start out in cosplay groups as friends first. Have you checked on your friend? How's your friend doing? Are they okay? How's work? How's family? How's school? Do they have any stressors? Might be affecting their ability? Are they having potentially like a financial problem where they can't buy the thing right now? Did their sewing machine break? There's a lot of options for things that could be going on that maybe you're just not aware of because you're hyper-focused on the fact that the costume isn't done. Maybe there's something else going on that, as their friend, that you should know about.
And in that case, you may also need to be willing to take a step back and adjust some things. Assess whether or not losing a friendship is worth getting this project done for the due date that you have planned.
And frankly, that's only a question that you can answer.
That's correct.
But Elle, my group members being bossy and taking over the group.
That's a very common problem in groups.
It's not even necessarily a problem, depending on your other factors.
It depends
involved.
On the dynamic and what you mean by bossy. You know, every group needs to have a leader. Someone needs to take charge and lead the group because you can't just have a bunch of people doing their own thing or nothing will get done. However, if the person is being accusatory and not really doing much, but telling everybody what else to do.
Micromanaging,
yes. They're in everybody else's business all the time. You're going to irritate your group members, and then nothing's going to get done. Micromanagement does not work.
Well, and leadership is definitely, some people come by it naturally, but it's definitely, I think, a learned skill. You have to be very organized, and you have to be able to efficiently communicate with people and set concise goals and realistic expectations.
If you take anything from this episode, it is clear and concise expectations. That will solve 90% of your group problems is if you attempt to have clear and concise expectations.
Groups do need a leader.
Yeah.
If you've got more than a couple people doing something, then you're going to end up with either too many cooks in the kitchen or nobody being the cook in the kitchen, and nobody's kind of holding anybody else accountable for anything, and just it might end up pure chaos. You see that in the workplace all the time. Cool too. Even though people are like, oh no, groups are equal. They're not. Anybody that's ever done a group project, you can pick that one person that you did group projects with that did a lot of the organizing. Or maybe they would assign each person a section to work on, at least write down who was doing what section so that we could keep track of what's going on. And that might have been you, or it might have been somebody else in your group. But I bet if you look back at those school projects, you can think of exactly who that was.
Well, and the leader is part of those clear and concise expectations. Like, it's hard to have clear and concise expectations if you don't have someone who is managing them.
When you're going to have conflict in groups, and you will, it might be something really small. It might be something kind of silly after a thought, because maybe it was just a misunderstanding with tone or what have you. The first thing you're going to need to do is communicate. Use those iMessages, talk about the problem, and try to work out a solution. Hypothetically, if you are doing a group cosplay project, you are either an adult or you are a mature enough individual, probably in your junior high, high school years, that feels mature enough to participate in a group project. Because I know there were certain times in my life when I'd be like, no, that doesn't sound like fun. So communicate with each other, treat each other with respect. And ultimately, if something's not working, it's okay to change it. You can have those clear and concise expectations in the beginning. And if it's just not working out for one reason or another, you can adapt. That's not a big deal. Change is not a result of failure of any kind. Change is just change, and change is not necessarily bad.
I think that's one of the hardest parts, though, is you feel like, regardless of what's going on in the rest of your life, you need to stay on this schedule and this push to complete things. And I think a lot of us are feeling that right now, especially. COVID has gone on a lot longer than we all thought it was going to. And we all need to start being willing to adapt a little bit more to what our new expectations are.
And there are going to be certain things that you're going to have to overcome. So let's say that your friend who works a minimum wage job is an essential employee and got sent back to work, and some of their coworkers are out with COVID and now they have to work overtime. They're already hurting for money, potentially from having been off work for a certain period of time. Now they don't have any time because they're spending all of what was their free time now at work. You might have to decide whether or not that you're personally willing to overcompensate for that. You know, is doing this project with these people to this specific level of quality worth it to you to maybe you and all of your friends pitch in $10 to help the other person out because they just can't afford it right now? Or maybe because you really want to have this extra person in your group, you know, Sally decides that she's going to do the wig and the hair bow, and Susie decides that she's going to do the shorts, and Alex decides that they're going to make the blouse. Mary decides that she's going to make the accessories. Division of labor. My friend and the and still gets to cosplay with me, and we still get to have our cosplay group, and everybody's happy. Also, sometimes, like we talked about, you have to take out the trash.
I mean, that is a good way to put it.
Sometimes there are conflicts that come out in group projects that might not even be related to the group. Just because it's somebody that maybe you hadn't worked a lot with previously, and now you're having to interact with them more on a one-on-one basis. And just for whatever reason, you don't mesh. You are not required to get along with everyone. Now, you should try to remain professional and courteous and don't be, you know, rude assholes to each other. Because, again, we're adults. Let's communicate like adults. If there are conflicts that cannot be resolved within the group setting, it's okay to go on with the group without certain people in it. It doesn't necessarily, you know, mean you failed or anything like that. It just means maybe these people just can't work together. And typically, it's going to take more than one person not getting along for something like that to happen. And a lot of times, if there's one person in particular that doesn't like another person in particular, the person that actually isn't fond of the other person is going to be the one that leaves. They're just going to do it on their own. Or maybe you finish this group project out, but maybe you just don't do another one. You're like, you know, this was too stressful for me. I didn't like it. You know, I don't like XYZ about my cosplay group interactions with this person, and it's not something I'm interested in doing again. And that's okay. Just because you were in a group this one time doesn't mean that every single time that you do a cosplay group, you have to invite them. And the last option, which nobody really wants to do, is you could just not do it. If this is just all chaos and it's causing everybody stress and nobody can kind of figure it out and there's too much conflict involved, you can just say F it and just not do the project.
Sometimes that is what you have to do. It does happen where there's just too much going on and there's no way that it's going to get done. And that's okay. Like, it does happen. We have been there.
You can cancel. Or if you don't want to cancel, you could do what we talked about earlier and change your plans. So maybe we really wanted to do this skit at this con, but for whatever reason, we can't go to this con, or the materials didn't get here in time, or what have you. This isn't going to be done. Period. The end. We know it. It's not going to be done. It's okay to move it to another con. It's not the end of the world to take something you had planned on doing at one place to another place instead.
Well, and I think we're all experiencing that now. For a lot of us, we were forced to do that. We were moving some projects before COVID, though, because life.
Because life.
Life happens, and sometimes you have to give your non-cosplay life the attention that it needs. And remember, there are other things in life.
What?
What? I know.
There are other things in life besides cosplay.
Right? You might have to cut cons and projects, right? Like, it happens, and we all know all about that this year.
Oh, yeah. It's how we went from doing, like, 14 cons that one year to, like, not the next year. We're like, you know, we just need a break from that.
Realistic expectations. Those were not.
Communicating that I have... What?
Right.
You mean I had to communicate that I have a life outside of this?
Yes. That's so weird. Obviously.
No, I think that's actually one of the things that I am proudest about, is the fact that we can have those conversations and say, you know, I just don't think this is going to work. And then we talk it out like adults, and then we make those decisions together as a group or a duo, I mean, yeah. Depending on the situation.
And I mean, we're still working on that. You know, we've gotten better. Neither one of us wants to disappoint the other person, which I think is usually the hardest part. And we don't want to disappoint all of you either.
Right.
You have to figure out what's realistic for you in your life as it is. And if you have to change your plans, you change your plans. The world does not end. Because in the end, if you really value those friendships that you have with these people in your group, that should be more important than whether or not the cosplay project gets done. Like, if these are people that you truly value having in your life, their mental health and well-being should trump getting any cosplay project done.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think we forget about that sometimes, that these kind of projects can be very stressful.
Well, and sometimes I think people just, especially within this hobby, like, some people would just become so focused on it that they just kind of forget that people have things outside of it, because maybe you only interact with this person at cons doing cosplay. You're not exposed to their life and what their normal day-to-day is or what their hardships are, so you don't really think about it. It's just not present in your mind for whatever reason. Have fun, guys. Be kind. Be kind to each other.
Yes, be kind. Have friendship. Be honest. Like, really, you can solve most of your group problems if you're just honest and communicate with each other. And this goes from duos to 21-person groups.
Right. Which, I will not do a 21-person group again.
I will not. Maybe if Mew21's running it, then I'll do a 21-person group, but I'm not running one.
That's fair.
I'll participate.
You'll participate, you just don't want to be the leader.
I don't want to be the leader of a 21-person group. No, thank you.
No,
okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Not doing that.
A lot of you are probably like, wow, that all sounds kind of like it sucks. Why would I want to do that if it's so hard? That answer is going to be different for everybody. Just kind of like why people do groups is different for everybody. But as we've mentioned several times, I will speak for both of us and say we do it for the friendships. The friends that we've made in this hobby are the reasons why we put ourselves through the group chaos.
But that's also why we're extremely particular about who we work with. You all notice that we don't do group projects with very many people because we are very particular about who we're working with. And we like to work with people who know and understand our both inside and outside of cosplay lives and are willing to work with us on balance. And we know that we can trust them to get their work done, and they know they can trust us to get our work done. So choose well, have fun, do some of your groups online. There's been some really fun things that I've seen people doing, like different Zoom videos as groups and trying to compile photos together as like big group photo things. Like, you can still have this kind of fun even though we're not quite at the convention ready process yet.
I really love the Pass the Videos.
Yes, those are so cute. Those are like the ultimate online group project, the Pass the Videos.
They make me really happy because it started with Pass the Brush, but now there's just all sorts of stuff.
I still kind of want to do one, but they're a lot of work. I want to do a 90s anime Pass the Brush.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. Old school time. Let's go.
We need like a tsunami.
Yes, tsunami past the brush. Let's do it. Gundam Wing. Let's go.
Goodness.
All right, our friends. We are going to close out this group project that is this podcast, because this is also definitely a group project
that we're still learning how to manage. But thanks for hanging out with us, and we hope that some of these tips will help you when you start your next project.
I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Elle.
We are Lobby Cosplay.
And this is Shit Group Cosplayers Like to Say About Being in a Group. Woo!
You've been listening to Shit Cosplayers Say, an LVC production. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Podcast SCS. Our website is lavicosplay.com. Have a fun, crazy con or cosplay-related story, absurd cosplay question, or just something in general to share with us? Email us at podcastscs@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, just because you can doesn't mean you should.